engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them baptizing. John was also baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there. And people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase, I must decrease." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We conclude the Christmas season with tomorrow's feast of the baptism of the Lord. And today we focus in these readings on a particular meaning of baptism. It's a particular meaning of the coming of Jesus Christ, which is that he is the one to whom we give ultimate loyalty. "Oh, come, let us adore him," we have been singing during this Christmas season. Another way of saying that is what John, in his first letter, and we read the concluding words of that letter here, says, and they may in fact be chronologically, scholars will say, that these are the latest words written in the New Testament. So chronologically, not in the terms of the way the books are arranged, because as we know, the last book in the arrangement of Scripture is the book of Revelation. But chronologically, the words we heard at the end of this gospel may be the final ones of the written word of God. "Children, be on your guard against idols. Keep yourself from idols. Oh, come, let us adore him." Adoring Jesus Christ and worshiping an idol are completely mutually exclusive things. By saying, "Oh, come, let us adore him," we have, of course, the positive joy of welcoming the child, celebrating his birth, and then in anticipation of opening all our Christmas gifts, learning his teachings, understanding his parables, receiving the gift of his church, his sacraments, living his moral teachings, etc. There's the positive angle of welcoming the one who has come, but that carries with it necessarily what you might call the negative duty of renouncing evil. And that includes renouncing idols. That's why John says this so naturally. He says, look, the Son of God has come. He has revealed to us the true God. He is God, of course. He's the second person. He has revealed to us perfectly the Father. So therefore, John is saying, look, you don't have to guess anymore who God is. Therefore, stay away from idols. A lot of times people develop idols because they don't know who the true God is. Scripture actually has some funny passages in the Old Testament. There's a lot of warning against idols, and it talks about how, you know, the illogic of idols is, look how a craftsman might make something out of wood, and then he goes to the worthless fragments of wood and he carves out something and makes it into an idol, posts it on a wall because it can't stand up for itself, and worships it and says, this is the one who made heaven and earth. It's like the same illogic of the people at the bottom of Mount Sinai when Moses was up there getting the commandments. They, under the weak and failed leadership of Aaron, who collected the gold and rings and so forth, made the golden calf and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt. How can it be your God? You just made him. God is not somebody you make. And idolatry, therefore, is contrary to common sense. It's contrary to the reality that the true God has been revealed fully in Jesus Christ. It's contrary to, oh, come, let us adore him. But it's completely consistent with what John the Baptizer said in this gospel, that Jesus is the bridegroom of the church. Now, John puts himself in the position of the best man. He says, look, I'm there as a servant. I'm there as an attendant. I announced the coming of the bridegroom. But it is a marriage that we have with Jesus Christ. Christmas brings us a marriage. In Christ, we have the marriage of humanity and divinity. In welcoming Christ, we have the marriage of us, the church, the people of God, the members of the body of Christ, the living stones of the temple of God, married to Christ, the head of the church, the bridegroom, the true vine of which we are our branches, the living temple in which we are built as living stones. We're married to him. When we come to the Mass, we're renewing marriage vows, fidelity to him above all, and despite all. And so John says, keep away from idols. Now, idols are not just worthless wooden carvings that you might put on the wall and think that they are God. Idols come in many other forms as well. There's ideological idolatry. And we see it. I see it most clearly because I'm working full-time and ending abortion. Some of you do as well, or at least you give some time to the pro-life movement. There are people in our country who, for whom the so-called right to an abortion is an idol. Abortion itself is idolatry. It's putting self-will above God's gift of life. It's idolatry. It's a rejection of God. John Paul II said any rejection of a human life is a rejection of Jesus Christ. Any attack on human life is an attack on God. Look up Evangelium Vitae, the gospel of life. That's why you can't have Christians, Catholics, going around saying, oh, I'm Catholic, but I am not going to lift a finger to protect these babies. I think it's a mother's right to kill that baby. Again, totally mutually exclusive, incompatible, cannot put the two ideas together. It's idolatry. And it's not just idolatry to say that it's okay to kill a baby. Because the Planned Parenthood, the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, these people make an idol out of pushing abortion. They're fanatics. They push abortion. They want it included in every funding bill. You look at how the last Congress started out. And you got these self-proclaimed Catholics who are nothing of the sort, Pelosi, Biden. Pelosi starts off the last Congress with efforts to increase the amount of your money and mine, if we're American taxpayers, that go into the abortion industry. This is more important to them than anything. It's more important to them than anything, any other priority. You see it by the way they talk. You see it in their actions. Actions speak even louder than words. They're always trying to pour more money into abortion. They won't even let anybody question the so-called right to abortion. They don't want any exceptions or limitations on it, even in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy. They don't want any of that. They don't want parents involved in the abortion decisions of their minor age daughters. They don't want abortion clinics regulated, even with common sense regulations, like you have to have emergency medical equipment, or maybe the hallways need to be wide enough to bring a gurney through in case of an emergency. They don't even want any of that. They say, oh, it's putting up obstacles to a woman's right to choose. It's an idol. It's an idol. Politicians also commit the sin of idolatry when they are more loyal to an evil and corrupt political platform than they are to the laws of God. Our founding fathers came here to break away from the yoke of tyranny. They knew this line of scripture. They knew that they had to break free of idolatry. And tyranny is a form of idolatry for those who go along with it. Kings that demand that they be recognized as the source of the law, that's a promotion of idolatry. You might as well build a temple to a false god and order that the people go worship at it. Or you remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, we read about Nebuchadnezzar building the big statue and saying every time the musical instruments play, you must bow down before the statue. And Daniel and the other Jews there refused to bow down to the statue. And they say, King, you can do to us what you want. You have power over our bodies, but you don't have power over our souls, over our will. And this is what all the martyrs said. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. But the fire didn't burn them because they were in there. God wanted to show that king that he was the true God, not the king, and therefore rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the flames of the furnace. They were unharmed. The smell of the fire wasn't even on their clothing. And the king was amazed and worshiped the true God. Children, keep away from idols. They said, God can save us from you, O king, but even if he doesn't, know that we will not obey your decree. Let me apply that once again to the political situation here in the United States. The Democrat Party wants you to obey their decrees rather than the law of God. Let me say that again, and I want you to understand I am not exaggerating. The Democrat Party in America wants you to obey their decrees rather than the law of God. Right here in this very building from which I am speaking to you now, we had to defend our rights to follow the law of God, our duty to follow the law of God, all the way up to the Supreme Court at the time when Biden was in the vice president's mansion and Obama was in the White House. God forgive them for trying to force us, right here at Preach for Life, me personally, Janet Morano, whom you see on these broadcasts, Alveda King, whom you see on these broadcasts, Obama and Biden were trying to force us to violate the law of God by going along with a scheme that our faith tells us would make us complicit in abortion. Children, keep away, guard against, John says here, idols. Were we to bow to that pressure? Were we to follow that unjust decree? We'd be guilty of idolatry, or put another way, we would be guilty of violating our marriage vows with Jesus Christ. Or put yet another way, we would be changing the Christmas hymn from, O come, let us adore him, to, O come, let us betray him. Children, keep away from idols. We're going to have to remember these words in the coming weeks and months and years here in America. People are talking about, and you'll hear people on the left, which is in itself an idolatry, will talk about grave threats to democracy. They let those words roll off their lips as if they know what they're talking about. But they don't. If a Democrat is saying those things, or someone on the left is saying, oh, this or that or the other thing is a grave threat to democracy, I stand here before you today and tell you they do not know what they are talking about. Because the grave threat to democracy is them. The grave threat to democracy is thinking that from the Oval Office, you can issue a decree to believers in God to violate the laws of God. That is a grave threat to democracy. Or when you sit there with, you know, your tongue still and motionless, when people are trying to cancel our history and our right to speak up and to speak out. We have a president now in Donald Trump who more than anyone else has strengthened the rights of believers to follow John's advice here. Children, keep away from idols. If we see something that our faith rejects, we have the right to reject it. And this president stands for that right. And he has built into our system of policies the rules by which the government functions. He has insisted that clergy are to have the right to say what they need to say from the pulpit, that students have the right to say what they need to say on campus about their faith and their values, that children have the right to pray in school, that organizations that are shaped by and motivated by faith have the right to pursue government contracts, for example, or get government grants on an equal basis with organizations that do not have any faith, and that those faith-based organizations should not have to jump through extra hoops. They shouldn't have to hide the crucifixes that are on the wall. They shouldn't have to keep their mouth shut about their religious faith. No, the president says, and I'm talking about President Donald J. Trump, the best president we've ever had, he says, we want the people of faith and the clergy and the students and everybody who believes to be able to wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, and proudly profess that faith and live according to it, including in the way they interact with government. That's the only way that we get to follow this scripture that we see here today. Children, be on your guard against idols. Be on your guard against people in government authority who want you to obey their command more than God's command. Be on guard and resist them. Be on guard against idols because you have one spouse, the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ. And we have sung all during this Christmas season, oh, come, let us adore him. And that's why President Trump has insisted from the time he was campaigning 5 years ago, we're going to say Merry Christmas again. Any religious people out there like that? We should be grateful for and like and defend and stand up for and speak up for President Trump. Because he's pointing us in the same direction that the Word of God is pointing us. Oh, come, let us adore him, brothers and sisters. As we come to the culmination of this Christmas season, come, let us adore him, Jesus Christ. Because in him we have the fullness of the revelation of the Father. In him we have victory over falsehood, sin, and death. In him we have the joy of eternal life. And so once again we can say, even though it's already the 9th, we can still say Merry Christmas. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast.
To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.